The title of tonight's teaching is, are you in relation or are you in position with God? Are you in relation with God or are you in position with God? And there's a distinct difference from the perspective of how we approach things. A son, Drew, you hit it on the nail on the head again. A son or child of God is not a position. It's a relation. A relationship. Your daughter is your daughter because it's a relationship. We have heard a lot about our position in God, but not as much emphasis on our relationship with God. Our position is very evident as the scriptures declare we are kings and priests and we are overcomers and we are victorious. And yes, but more silent, even though evident, are the declarations that designate our relationship with our Creator, Jehovah. Children, sons, daughters. In any hierarchy, preference always goes to those in close relation with the head, be it a king, a president, or a ruler. Let me say that again. In any hierarchy, preference always goes to those in close relation with the head, be it a king, a president, or a ruler. If you were chummy friends with the president, you'd probably have some clout, right? In the same way, the kingdom of heaven operates on the same order. In other words, when we look at the rank, there's a rank and file. The Son, God's begotten Son, God is on the top. Jesus sits on the throne that's exalted. Then we have cherubims. They're high-level angels, angelic beings. Seraphims. There's archangels, Gabriel, Michael. And then there are angels. So there is a level of authorities, even in our military. You know, you have corporals and you have lieutenants and you have sergeants and you have generals and, you know, colonels, and there's a hierarchy. And where do you think in the natural that came from? Well, we have to know that way back when things were patterned after the scriptures. If we were to give an inventory list of who we are in Christ Jesus, the majority of what list would be comprised of would be, like we said, more than a conqueror, seated where he is, victors through Christ, the head, not the tail. That's, you know, that, and that's all accurate. But they are positional. All right. And what about the relationship aspect of who we are in Christ? And this scripture just keeps going around in my head. If you want to open it up, it's not on my notes, but it's Matthew 7:21-22. We're talking about the differences between relationship and positionship. Position. Honey, if you have that, could you read that, please?
Did you say Matthew 7:22?
7:21-22. Read it good and loud.
Okay. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. On that day, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and cast out demons in your name and do many mighty works in your name? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of lawlessness.
So we see in that scripture, we see people who are, we have to assume they were operating in position and not in relation. They were doing things, but they never had the relationship. Prophets prophesy. It's a position. Casting out demons. Mighty things, doing mighty things. But let's look at some scriptures. If you're taking notes, Galatians 4:4. Galatians 4:4-7. Believe it or not, God, and we've talked about this before, God wants intimacy. Remember we talked about intimacy?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Don't go there again.
No? we may have to. Okay, Galatians. But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. And because you are sons, God has set forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Wherefore, thou art no more a servant, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. Okay? So, as we're seeing, what Christ came to do is to bring us into a proper relationship. Not a position, but a relationship. Sons. Look at John 15:15. We're talking about relationship. John 15:15. This is Jesus speaking, and he says, henceforth, I call you not servants. Listen closely, for the servant does not know what his Lord does. But I have called you friends. For all things that I have heard of my Father, I have made known unto you. The servant does not know what his Lord does, but I call you friends, not servants. Relationship. Relationship. 2 Thessalonians 2:13. I'll just go through these quickly for time's sake. You can take the notes if you want. But we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God has from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief in the truth. So we are beloved, and we've been chosen. Relationship, beloved. Ephesians 2:19 says, Ephesians 2:19, now therefore you are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God. You are of the household of God. You're not an outsider. You're on the inside. Zechariah 2:8. For thus says the Lord of hosts, after the glory hath he sent unto me, unto the nations which spoil you, for he that touches you touches the apple of his eye. That's what God sees as Zechariah 2:8. You're the apple of God's eye. You're not an outsider. You're not insignificant. But you are a son, a daughter. And as sons and daughters of any parents, you are in line for an inheritance, right?
Right.
And the Bible tells us about an inheritance. Now, in our culture today, we have been indoctrinated on the merit system. You have to earn your way. You have to earn your way. Years ago, there were the poor and the noble, or the rich were called people of privilege. So now we have the middle class, but it wasn't always like that. You were either poor or you were rich. And the rich were people of privilege. That nobility and privilege came through inheritance because of relationship. You know, it through in this outdoor adventures here, your children can inherit the membership, right? And then it passes down because of being family. The blessings can be passed down. Revelation 21:17 says, "He that overcomes shall inherit all things." Wow. "I will be his God and he shall be my son." He that overcomes shall inherit all things. To inherit, through Webster's dictionary, it says to receive money, property, etc., from someone when that person dies. Biology, to inherit, you have biology too, or a characteristic because of the genes that you get from your parents when you are born. So you inherit, you know, certain traits, you inherit looks, you know. Again, to inherit is to get a personal quality, interest, etc., because of the influence or example of your parents or other relatives. So this is basically having an understanding of inheritance. So through Christ, we can inherit so much. The characteristics of God by the Holy Spirit. The knowledge through the Holy Spirit. We are right in line with inheritance. Look at these scriptures. Ephesians 1:11 says, "In whom we have obtained an inheritance of God, being predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things after the counsel of his own will." Ephesians 1:18, Paul's prayer for the believers are that the eyes of your understanding be enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, what is the riches of his glory, of his inheritance in the saints. Colossians 1:12, "Giving thanks unto the Father, which has made us meet or qualified to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light." Colossians 3:24, "Knowing that the day that of the Lord you shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Christ." Hebrews 9:15, "And for this cause, he is the mediator of the New Testament, that by means of death, for the redemption of the transgressions that we were under the first testament, they which are called might receive the promise of eternal inheritance." And 1 Peter 1:4, "We have been called to an inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, that fades not away, reserved in heaven for you." Now, there are things that we will inherit in eternity, in futuristically, but there are also things for us right now. Well, we carry the name of Christ right now, right? Not futuristically. And so what we're going to look at is what goes with that. But before that, I want to point out some things for you to begin to take to heart. Think about this. When we were children of the Most High Majestic Creator, we being children, are we all children here?
Mm-hmm.
What kind of privilege do you imagine that brings? You are heirs. You are kin, adopted into the family of the Most High, the magnificent, majestic Creator of the universe. What kind of privilege do you think that brings? In order to understand what privilege it brings, we must understand some of God's attributes. I mean, God has so many attributes, you know, it'd be impossible and even in a week's time to go through them all. But I want to bring out some key things in relation to God's attributes. If you want to write these down, He is eternal, right? Isaiah 57:15. I love this scripture. For thus says the high and lofty one that inhabits eternity, whose name is holy. We were worshiping, he's crying, holy, holy. I dwell in the high and holy place, and with him also that is of a contrite and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble and to revive the heart of the contrite ones. The high and lofty, almighty creator of the universe dwells with in humility with those who are humble. God is all-powerful. Listen to this scripture. There's a lot of them, but Jude 1:25 says, to the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. The only wise God, there's only one God. We know in the Old Testament, right from the get-go, you know, law number one, you have no gods before me. I alone am God. God is a God, and we're called to pattern ourselves after God, right? God is a God of faith. Do you know that? God has faith. In fact, if you can open up to Mark 11 and 22. I want to share something with you. And if you have the right... after I share that, the right translation, please let me know. But do you have it there, honey?
Yes, ESV.
Okay, what does it say?
Starting at 22.
Yeah.
But I tell you, it will be more bearable on the day of judgment. Is that correct?
Mark 11.
Oops, sorry.
Okay.
I hit Mark.
11:22. It says, have faith in God. Anybody have that?
Have faith in God.
Okay.
Jesus answering said, don't have faith in God.
Okay, the actual translation, if you look at the NLT and some others, it would say, have the faith of God.
Oh, it's the same God.
That's
Yeah. Have the faith of God. What kind of faith does God have? He speaks and it happens. And God said, let there be light, and there was. And God said, you know, let there be a firmament, and there was. And God said, and God said, and God said. And every time God said, it was. When the centurion came to Jesus and said, just speak the word, and I know that my servant will be healed. He understood the creative and the authority in the spoken word that Jesus had. So he said, Jesus, just say it, and it'll happen. And Jesus marveled because he hadn't seen that much faith in all of Israel. Hebrews 11:1, faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. So the things that are not seen, you see it as evidence, as a reality. So faith speaks those things that are not as though they are. God created something from nothing. Let there be light. Let there be a firmament. Let there be a light to rule the day, and a light, and let there be lights in the firmament, the stars, and then let the animals come. He just spoke it, and kept speaking. But the actual translation is, have the faith of God. For you can say unto this mountain, be removed, and if you believe it, it'll be gone. God is a God of faith. Remember, in fact, if just before that, in verse 20, my note here says, they were going in by the morning and they saw the fig tree dead from the roots. If you remember before that, Jesus came to the fig tree and Jesus cursed it because there was no figs. So now they're seeing, Master, we see the tree which you cursed is dead. And then in verse 22, he said, in fact, my translation here is the BBE, have God's faith. So God is a God of faith. God, he's different than us, right? He's not the same as us. God is spiritual. He dwells in a spirit realm. He dwells in a realm that you can't grab, but it's there. You know, we talked a few weeks ago at the baptismal service, some great analogies about God. God is like the air. He's everywhere. And without the air, there's no existence. And John 1:4 says, in him was life. And the life was the light of men. In Christ is existence. God is spiritual. And so we're called upon to walk in a spiritual manner. Some other attributes of God. God is full of mercy. He's a merciful God. Deuteronomy 7:9 says, know therefore that the Lord thy God, he is God, the faithful God, which keeps covenant and mercy with them that love him and keep his commandments to 1,000 generations. But the key is, he's mercy to them that love him and keep his commandments. Sounds familiar to something we heard in the New Testament where Jesus said, why do you say you love me, but you don't keep my commandments? If you love me, you would keep my commandments. Very familiar. God is a forgiving God. Aren't you glad? I'm glad. God is a forgiving God. Psalms 103 verse 2 says, bless the Lord, O my soul. Forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your iniquities and heals all your diseases. So having seen all these great attributes that belong to our Father in heaven, what does that say or mean concerning us who are his children? What does that say to us?
We have access to them all.
Okay, we have access to them all. True. But even more than that, we should be walking in all those as his children. We're to imitate our Father. Ephesians 2:10 says, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God has before ordained that we should walk in them." Ephesians 4:1 says, "I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called." We are called to a high place, right? Not because of anything that we've done, because of his mercy and his grace. So it's not necessary for us to live in a lower plane. And when I mean by a lower plane, I mean, you know, living in depression, living in lust, or living in fear. That's low. Ephesians 5:8 says, "You were sometimes darkness, but now you're light in the Lord. Walk as children of light." Remember Sunday, we talked about the prime directive. What is our prime directive? You know, and it was to walk in him, to be like him, to depend on him. Colossians 2:6 says, "As you have therefore received Christ Jesus in the Lord, Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him." 1 Thessalonians 2:12's prayer is that you would walk worthy of God who called you into his kingdom and glory. It's sometimes an embarrassment for a noble person, a king, a noble, high, wealthy person, everybody knows, for their children to be living in bad lifestyles. Sort of an embarrassment, because they don't have to. What they could have. But for them to choose, a drug addiction or alcoholism or, you know, other things that just bring you down into a pit. God has given so much for us. 1 Thessalonians 4:1 says, "Furthermore, then we beseech you, brethren, and exhort you by the Lord Jesus, that as you have received of us how you ought to walk and to please God, so you would abound in it more and more." We, as children of the Most High, are to walk in the following areas. So we inventoried some of God's attributes. We are to walk in the Spirit. Romans chapter 8 talks about walking in the Spirit and not in the flesh. We are to walk by faith. 2 Corinthians 5:7 says, "For we walk by faith, not by sight." Hebrews 11:6 says, "Without faith, it's impossible to please God." So, you want to be a God pleaser?
Yeah.
Learn. We walk, must walk in faith. To walk in wisdom. Listen to this scripture. Ephesians 5:15 says, "See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, be as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Therefore, be not unwise, but be understanding what the will of the Lord is." There is great wisdom available to us. Amen?
Yeah.
Jesus said, I have to go so the Comforter can come, the Holy Spirit. And when he comes, he'll guide you into what? All truth. Not just partial truth, all truth. As children of God, we're called upon to walk in love. Let us walk in love, it's Ephesians 5:2, as Christ has loved us and gave himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. Walk in love. Okay, this gets a little tougher here now. 1 Thessalonians 4:12 says that you may walk honestly toward them without, that you may lack of nothing. Walking in honesty before God brings great blessing. Mm-hmm. Honesty. We're to walk in newness of life. Romans 6:4. If you were buried with him in baptism unto death, then you are raised through Christ. You're a new person. So we're not to be like we were before. We're to walk in power. That power means we're walked by another force that lives within us. 2 Corinthians 13:4 says, though he was crucified through weakness, yet he lives by the power of God. For we also are weak in him, but we shall live with him by the power of God towards you. It was the power of God that raised Jesus from the dead. We're to walk in grace. Let your speech always be with grace. It says in Colossians 4:6. And then, this is our last one here. We are to walk in authority. Why? Because we are children of the most authoritative person ever. And as children, you have authority. John 1:12 says, as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. That word power is exousia. If you have your e-sword, if somebody wants to look that up, exousia, what that means. It's John 1:12. And also, the same word in Luke 10:19, the same word for power is Jesus said, behold, I give to you power, exousia, to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Exousia has been given to you. Do you have that, honey?
Nope.
Okay. It's John 1:12 on the e-sword. Can you look up John 1:12 and just hit KJV? Yeah, that's the quickest way. John 1:12 and then hit KJV plus. Go ahead.
Privilege, force, capacity, competency, freedom, mastery, magistrate, superhuman, token of control, delegated influence, authority, jurisdiction, liberty, power, right, and strength.
That's what exousia means. As many as received him gave them power to become the sons of God. That's you. That's you. You have all of that. Delegated authority. Privilege, right, So what does that say to us? There's a lot for us to experience. A lot for us to live out. God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of love and power and a sound mind. That word power in that scripture is a force. Power. That force, that living force that can plow through things. So do you see yourself a little different? If it's there, it's for all of us. It's not just for me. It's not just for a chosen few. It's for everybody if we are willing to walk in it. So, and we've seen all those scriptures that said walk in it. Walk. Father, we bless you and we thank you, Lord, for your blessing. The blessing of sonship. The blessing of adoption. The blessing of you being in us. And we thank you, Lord. Take us deeper. Take us closer. Take us further. Let's continue, Lord, to work in our lives, we ask in Jesus' name.
Yes, Holy.
Amen. A lot to ponder. A lot to think about.